Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1037. Our topic is nutrition and the title is Hidden Mistakes, Macronutrient Percentages. So we've talked about this a lot in past podcasts, with podcast number 41 being kind of the highlighted podcast. And what we would talk about is the importance of different components when creating the best diet. Now, this is a diet that's not only just for fat loss, but for sport performance, for maximum muscle gain, just any type of structured eating plan we would refer to as a diet. And I like having it said that way because it destigmatizes the word diet from being, you know, a negative thing, from only being fat loss. And we have to refer to, or there's benefit to having a term that refers to meaningful planned out eating rather than just eating the way you do. So the idea of a diet is really just that you have put some thought into this. You have some structure to what you're doing. There's some intent in how you're going to do it. So a diet, again, can be for fat loss, but it can also be for weight gain. It can be for sport performance. It can be for athletic need, whatever it might be. Now, we've talked about this a lot, but the main components of what are important in diets is calories, macronutrient percentages, which we typically just refer to as protein because that's the one you really need to get right, then meal timing, and then kind of macronutrient quality. And the reason why we say this, the reason why we point this out, is you want to make sure that you give effort to what matters most. You give effort to what will have the biggest impact. And too often people start at the fourth most important thing, which is macronutrient quality, meaning that they'll switch from white rice to brown rice, from white bread to brown bread, like wheat bread. Maybe they'll start eating things that are organic or anything that says not non-sugar added or no sugar added. They'll have like an idea of what they think to be healthy foods. So they'll start to switch over to healthy foods from what they normally would eat. This typically will cause a caloric reduction because typically healthier foods are kind of less nutrient dense. Now, that's just for the most part. There are ones that aren't. And then also when somebody's watching what they eat with the intent of switching over the quality of the food, they're also going to subconsciously or purposely eat less food overall as well. So they'll start at the fourth most important thing, which is macronutrient percent of quality. They'll try eating just better food, and they will lose weight. But the reason why they lose weight is because of that accidental or unintentional caloric reduction. So they'll think what they're doing is working, but then all of a sudden it won't work. All of a sudden they'll be, you know, just kind of a week where they don't lose weight whenever they've been losing weight for the previous 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Then they'll have a week where maybe they actually gained weight, and they're like, what in the hell is going on? And it just doesn't seem to be working. And the reason why is the accidental or non-purposeful caloric reduction all of a sudden stops happening. They might start to get a little hungry, so they start eating more of the good foods. And all of a sudden the calories go up. And that's when the progress stops. So, unfortunately, people will start with the wrong thing sometimes. So we are trying to push people to start with counting calories and tracking calories because that is the most impactful component of any eating plan. Calories determine the direction of weight change. So I can eat horrible foods, but if I eat in a deficit, I will lose weight, assuming I eat in a proper deficit. I can eat the best foods in the world, but if I overeat, if I eat in a surplus, I will gain weight. So calories are more important than the what of what you eat, because you can eat the right what, but if you eat the wrong amount, then you're still going to get the wrong result. So calories are the most impactful thing. The second most impactful thing is macronutrient breakdown, meaning are you eating enough protein compared to carbohydrates and fats? And that's actually what I want to look at today. So when I wrote in the title Hidden Mistakes, the reason why I wrote it that way was a lot of times people will just count calories, and then they'll also think of eating healthy foods. And that's it. they'll stop with that. They'll be eating what they believe to be the right amount. They'll be eating what they believe to be healthy foods. But for some reason, they still just don't look lean. They don't feel good energy. They kind of have these, like, kind of extra, like, water pockets or storage areas, like their lower belly is still flabby, their, you know, lower back area is still flabby. Maybe they still have some kind of softness on the outer pockets of the thighs. And they're just like, what in the world's going on? You know, I'm eating healthy foods. I'm counting my calories. Why don't I look lean? Why don't I feel kind of like hard and like feel like I'm dieting? Why am I not getting the best results? And one of the reasons why is because they won't be eating enough protein. Now, again, the reason why this is considered hidden is because you feel like you're already attending to or paying attention to a lot. You feel like you're putting in a lot of effort. So whenever you don't see the result, we start to wonder, like, what in the world is going on? We can't figure it out, therefore it's hidden from us. So what I wanted to do today was to kind of wake up your eyes to the fact that this may be happening in your diet. So what I want to do is I want to look through, let's take an example of somebody who is doing all the right things, quote unquote. And I want to kind of take a look at what this would look like and how we can kind of get ourselves into some trouble in regards to not being able to pay attention to or not paying attention to the macronutrient percentages. So let's go for example on a client where they have a very active day on a Saturday. So we're starting on Saturday and we're going to go through Thursday. So they have an active day on Saturday. They're up and active. They weight train. They also are going out in the yard. They're doing odds and ends. And they're just very active. So what this person's doing is they're trying to maintain a 2,000 calorie average. And they're trying to maintain 150 grams of protein intake. But let's say that they're not paying attention to the protein very well. So they're counting calories. They're eating healthy foods, quote unquote. But they're kind of missing the mark on their protein. What does this look like? So they want a 2,000 calorie average. And we've talked before about caloric cycling, like the benefits of caloric cycling for fat loss and for weight gain, just the overall benefits of caloric cycling, how that can help us kind of better adapt our energy intake to our energy output. So one of the best podcasts you can listen to for that is so far is 857, titled Caloric Cycling to Breakthrough Plateau. And this is going to explain the benefits of caloric cycling for weight gain and weight loss. But the idea is on days I move more, I eat more. On days I move less, I eat less. So that way, on days I'm moving more, if I were to eat like a smaller amount, I'm going to be in a huge deficit. My body's actually going to get grumpy, and it's going to fight the fat loss process. So let's say the person, we said we want a 2,000 calorie average. Let's just say they ate 2,000 calories every single day. Well, on their super active days, that's going to be a big deficit for this person. And they're actually going to feel low energy. They're going to feel kind of crappy. Their body's going to be underfed, underhydrated. It's just not going to go well. The body's going to be very mad. But then on days where maybe they have no exercise, they're sitting at work on a desk job, 2,000 calories might actually put them in a slight surplus. They actually might not lose any fat that day because their body's actually being fed enough. So you're accidentally eating at maybe a maintenance. So what this means is they'd have some days they're severely underfed. Their body's going to respond by being aggressively fighting fat loss process as a means of kind of a survival style response. And then on other days, they're not eating enough of a deficit to push fat loss. So if somebody's just eating the same amount of calories every single day, regardless of their activity, you're going to have some days where that's actually too much of a deficit, it's detrimental. Then you have some days where it's not a deficit at all, therefore that's detrimental to your goal. So you need to have caloric cycling. So listen to podcast 857 if you've not learned about that yet. So this person, what we're having them do is we're having them on their active days eat a little more, on their inactive days eat a little bit less. Now they have ranges and stuff, but let's just say for example they're eating 200 to 400 calories above 2,000 calories on their active days, and then they're eating 200 to 400 calories below 2,000 on their inactive days. So on Saturday and Sunday, they're super active, busy days. They work out on both days because it's easier for them to work out than on the weekends rather than during the week. So on Saturday, maybe they had 2,300 calories. On Sunday, they had 2,400 calories. Totally fine because that's within our range of the surplus that we know we are okay with on the active days. So they're allowed to eat 200 to 400 extra on those active days. On Saturday, they ate 300 extra. On Sunday, they ate 400 extra. Then on Monday, they didn't work out. It's the first day of the week. They just kind of focused on work, trying to survive work. And they ended up eating 1,550 calories. So they're actually a little over their 400 calorie reduction. So they ate actually 450 calories less. So that's a little bit lower than what we'd want. But hey, you know, they got the deficit in there. So they did okay. Tuesday, they started to eat higher amounts because they thought they were going to work out Tuesday night. And all of a sudden, it turns out Tuesday night, something came up. They couldn't work out. So they tried to eat less for dinner, but they really ended up eating just around 2,000 calories, meaning that it wasn't really a reduction. It was kind of right in that middle range. And they, you know, they had the best of intentions that day, but it didn't work out. So they tried to adjust at night. They did the best they could given that situation, but that day was actually kind of a wash. Wednesday, maybe they got up early, they got their workout in, and they went to eat throughout the rest of the day. Something happened at work, they missed their lunch, they missed afternoon meal because they thought they had packed something, but they didn't pack something. You know, a meeting ran long, so they got home at night, they were super starved. They didn't want to undereat at night because that's going to make them super starved the next day, and they're afraid they're going to overeat the next day, so they have a little bit of a bigger dinner. So all of a sudden, again, they end up around 2,000 calories. Now, they were supposed to have a bigger day because they worked out, but since they missed those middle meals and they didn't want to eat too much at the end of the day, they ended up being just as a wash again. And then Thursday, all of a sudden, you know, they didn't work out. They did a good job. They ate under the 2,000 calories. They had 1,800 calories. This is very normal. This is exactly how life typically goes for most people. Is you have some good days, you have some days that you planned to be good, but they didn't quite work out. So what happens with this scenario is the person's actually going to be right at our 2,000 calorie average that we're looking for. So they had some surpluses on certain days. They had some deficits on certain days. They ended up kind of washed in the middle on certain days, which just happens. So overall, they're actually on track with their calories. So a little bit of chaos there in the middle of the week, but they're actually doing well. They had days where they ate a little bit more, but they were moving more. So that worked well. They still got fat loss. They had days where they ate a little bit less, but they were moving less. So that worked well. They still got fat loss. So you can see that there can be chaos along the way. But if you understand the idea of caloric cycling, if you understand the idea of how to adjust your calories based on what's happening that day for you, based on your activity level, you can still make progress even with crazy schedules and crazy adjustments like this. The downside to this, though, this person would look at this and they would say, yeah, you know, I had some days right, I had some days wrong, but if I average out my days, I'm actually meeting what I want my average to be. I'm making it work. So, what's going to happen is every day they're going to feel like they put meaningful, mindful effort towards their calories and paying attention to whether they were active or inactive. But this person actually is falling behind. Now, how? Why? And it's because of protein intake. They're supposed to be consuming 150 grams of protein a day. But if we look at their days, on Saturday they had 145 grams, close enough. On Sunday, though, they only had 100 grams of protein. What they chose food-wise in the middle of the day was way more carbohydrates than it was anything else. So they wanted to have a couple drinks of wine, maybe they want to have a beer with some friends. So they counted those calories as part of their daily intake, but there's no protein intake there. So they allowed them to reach their calorie goal, but they only had 100 grams of protein. That's only like 66% of what we wanted. That's way off. Monday, since it was a low calorie day, they swapped out some foods. They you know, tried their best to keep the calories low, but unfortunately they kept their protein low by accident as well. They only got 110 grams of protein. maybe on Tuesday, they got back to that day where they tried to work out in the morning, in the evening. They ate like they were going to, but then all of a sudden they didn't. Their protein actually still ended up okay because they had planned to work out that day. So it's 150. Wednesday, they did really well, got 150. Then on Thursday, it was kind of a crazy day. They missed their normal lunch and had to just eat like a salad instead of like a, you know, a meat and carb like meat and rice. So they only got 95 grams of protein. The unfortunate part of this is their average might be only 120 grams. So they're actually only averaging 80% of the protein that we said we wanted. So their calories might be correct, but our goal was to have 30% of those calories be protein calories. And maybe this person's only eating now at 20% of their total calories being protein. This is what considers what turns out to be a quote-unquote hidden mistake, is their protein intake is insufficient, even though their calories are correct. The effects of this is you may still, and you're likely to still have the weight that you want. You're not going to see this on a scale. You're not going to see the negative effects on a scale. You're going to have the body weight that you want, likely. But what's going to start to happen is, over time, you would notice that you look softer than what you'd expect. Yeah, maybe you have your target weight. Maybe your target weight's, 150 pounds. So you weigh 150 pounds, and that's great. But you thought it was always going to be a little leaner. You felt like you'd be a little firmer. You're kind of soft. Your arms are soft. Your belly's soft. Your legs are soft. You don't have that tight, lean physique that you thought you'd have. Then you're going to notice over time in your training that your training says, you know, it's written to help you build muscle, but you don't really see any new muscle forming. You feel like you're just kind of the same circumference, the same muscle sizes. Your program says it's supposed to make you stronger, but you haven't really been making much progress in regards to overall strength. You know, you've added, 10 pounds to a lift in the last 2 or 3 months, but man, you would have thought there would be more than that. And you have some small aches and pains that don't seem to be going away. Your knee always kind of bugs you a little bit. Your lower back is a little tired and fatigued all the time. You have this thing in your forearm that won't go away, this stupid little pain every time you try to grab something. What you're noticing are the effects of insufficient protein. Your calories are correct, therefore your body weight is probably what you want it to be. But you have insufficient protein, so you're not going to be as lean and as hard as you would want to look. You're not going to feel as strong. You're not going to build as much muscle as you want. You're going to still have aches and pains because your body's not fully recovering between the workout sessions. So what's starting to happen is you weigh what you want, but you don't feel what you want. You're putting in all the effort. Every single day, you are being very mindful and very purposeful with your calories. You're matching your calories to your activity. You are doing, quote-unquote, the right things. You're eating healthy foods. You're matching your calories. Why isn't it working? Why don't you feel the way you want to feel? And one of the reasons can be insufficient protein. We don't have the correct macronutrient percentages, meaning we're not having enough protein compared to our carbs and fats. So people can maintain a correct calorie count, but they can actually still end up having a surplus of carbs and fats because they have insufficient protein. This can mess with fat loss and water retention and muscular development. So you might weigh the right amount, but you have more body fat and less muscle at that weight than what you should have. If this is the case, then we need to increase our protein by decreasing our carbs and fats. Now, next question would be, how much protein am I supposed to have? We have podcast number 33, titled How Much Protein Do I Need? But in general, what you look for is 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight. Now, this is generally lean body weight. So if you were to say, okay, how much would I want to weigh? So maybe you want to lose 30, 40, 50 pounds. Maybe you weigh 200 and you want to get down to 150. Well, then just eat based off the 150 number. If I'm, you know, 200 pounds today, but I want to get to 225 pounds, well, if I eat off the 200 pounds, that'll actually be okay. But as I start to gain weight, if I start to gain weight up to 210 pounds, I need to now readjust my protein intake based off 210. So too often when people start weight gaining diets, like they're trying to build muscle, they might start at, say, 185, and they might gain up to 195, maybe even 200, but then they don't adjust their protein intake based off that new body weight. So as your body weight goes up, you would want to adjust your protein intake up so that we can continue to grow. For fat loss, you want to adjust your protein intake downward as you're going towards the body weight you want to go towards. So that's just something to reconsider, is as your weight changes, your protein, since it's based off a percentage of your weight, will need to change. So you might want to revisit that, say, every month and just say, okay, where's my body weight at? Do I need to adjust my protein? So that can just be every 4 weeks, something that you look at as a way to just consider and make sure you're on track. So what we can do, how can we adjust this? How can we get ourselves on track? Is typically what I'd recommend people do is when you're trying to figure out your calories is to track what you normally would eat for 3 to 7 days with the goal of not having your weight change. So whatever you weigh today, you want to try to eat in a manner that allows you to weigh the exact same amount in 7 days. Now, there might be plus or minus like within a 2% window. So if I weigh 150, I could actually weigh between 147 and 153 along these 7 days, and I'm doing okay. There's a normal 2% fluctuation from day to day, depending on sodium levels, activity level, hydration level, blah, 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 blah. But you want to hold steady, for the most part, within a 2% window for 7 days. You would track your calories, okay? Just see what you do. Typically, what you'll find is that you have big days and low days, like high days and low days. You want to then find out what your average was for those 7 days. Now, what you want to do for a second week is to stay within plus or minus 10% of that number, that average, for a whole week. So say you find your average is 2,000, then you want to stay within 1,800 to 2,200. So you're staying within minus 10% and above, and plus 10%. So that way you can create consistency. So I had somebody do this recently, and on their highest above day was 12%. Their lowest below day was 16%. So some days they were 16% below their average. Some days they were 12% above their average. We're going to try to narrow that to just 10 to 10. So they can be within only 10% plus or minus. Once they do that, then that means, okay, we have a consistent amount that we can work from. Now we're going to introduce caloric cycling. And again, we talk through how to set this up in podcast 857, so listen to that. But what you would do is, if you want to lose weight over time, on your high activity days, you would eat 5% above your maintenance. On your other days, you would eat 10% below, and that's going to have a net reduction of calories. If you're trying to gain weight, on your active days, you're going to eat 10% above. On your inactive days, you're going to eat 5% below. That's going to create a net positive over time. That'll help you gain weight, but in a very lean manner, so you don't gain unnecessary fat. So listen to podcast 857 to learn more about that process. But while you're tracking your calories, you can also be tracking your protein at the same time. That first 7 days, when you're just tracking your calories to try to not change weight, you would track your protein intake, because you're already going to be doing that as a way to track calories. Protein's automatically included in doing that. So you can see what your protein intake is. You can see if you're within that window of 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight. If you're outside of that window, then you want to start in that second week trying to get your protein within that window. So you're trying to get somewhere between 0.6 to 1 gram per pound of body weight during that second week. Then from there, what you want to do is start to narrow that down even more. Typically, if you're going to be exercising and lifting weights, you actually need 0.8 to 1 gram. per pound of body weight. So your third week, you're going to try to get within that window of 0.8 to 1 gram per pound of body weight. If you can do that, you've now controlled your caloric intake, you've controlled your macronutrient percentage. That is going to be the two biggest factors. The third factor, the last thing you want to consider that really is going to make you get all the results you want, is meal timing. One of the ways I've been working with clients recently is just to break our day into 4-hour time blocks. We have a 24-hour day. If you think of 4-hour sections, there's 6 4-hour sections. You're going to be sleeping for 2 of those pretty much. So we really only have to manage 4 4-hour blocks. What this means is the first 4 hours you're awake, you want to eat some calories. The second 4 hours you're awake, eat some calories. The third 4 hours you're awake, eat some calories. The fourth 4 hours you're awake, eat some calories. So you want to eat a minimum of 4 times a day. If you do this, it's going to prevent you from eating nothing all day and overeating at night. So split your calories into 4 sections. Try to have some in each 4-hour section. You can get more precise with this by adjusting the percentages per section. The most active section of the day should have more calories. The least active section should have least amount of calories. But for the most part right now, just think of breaking your day into 4-hour blocks. Eat sometime in the first 4 hours, eat sometime in the second 4 hours, eat sometime in the third 4 hours, eat sometime in the fourth 4 hours. If you do these things, if you track your calories for 7 days to create consistency, and then you track another 7 days to try to be within that plus or minus 10%. While you're doing that, if you pay attention to protein, just see in the first week what it turns out to be. In the second week, try to get within 0.6 to 1 gram per pound. In the third week, try to get within 0.8 to 1 gram. Then, if you're doing that while thinking of 4-hour time blocks, getting at least 4 meals a day, there is not going to be a result that you will have wanted that you will not achieve. These three things will take care of pretty much everyone's needs. Caloric control, protein intake control, and meal timing. Essentially, you just have to eat something every 4 hours. And of what you eat, make sure 30% of it is protein. It actually is that simple. This can actually be very simple. I recently just had somebody I started with this week with nutrition programming, and they actually wrote back and they said, "I can't believe nutrition is this simple. I was complicating it so much for so many years." That was their quote. So nutrition actually can be very simple. Eat something every 4 hours. Make sure of what you eat, 30% of it is protein. And you're going to be pretty good. So it's amazing that when we learn the complexity of it, when you learn the reason behind what you're doing, you can then simplify it with knowing what the minimum needs are. So education helps a lot, because as you work through the details and the muddled mess of it all, you can start to figure out what are the common themes, what are the threads, what are the kind of things that do matter? What are the things that don't matter? So I had somebody ask a question, and I'm going to be making a podcast about this in the future, is when I'm trying to get my calories around my workout, what's the difference whether I have the calories before the workout, during the workout, or after the workout? And my answer to them is there are differences, but they're so minute that it doesn't really matter. If your schedule only allows you to eat it beforehand, eat it beforehand. If your schedule only allows you to eat it afterwards, eat it afterwards. It doesn't make or break anything. But it does matter that we have more calories around our workout and less calories away from our workout. But whether we have them before, during, or after, or what percentage, should be a third, a third, a third, should be 50%, you know, 30%, 25%, who cares? None of that stuff really matters much. So I'm going to give an answer in a podcast coming up. But the general idea is we just have to get the bigger picture things right. And then the small details really make a very small difference. If we get the big things right, calorie control, protein control, and meal timing, everything else really doesn't matter much. And also the busyness and craziness of our life often doesn't allow those details to be too consistent anyhow. So if we can get the big things consistent, the little things don't matter. Too often people get worried about these little things and they're missing the big things, the ones that actually do matter. So I wanted to talk about that today. Hopefully that kind of raises your awareness that if you are counting calories, if you're eating quote-unquote healthy food, but you're not also paying attention to your macronutrient percentages to make sure you're having enough protein, then you could be putting in all the effort, but not seeing all of the results you want. So consider this. If you have any questions, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I can help you figure this out. We can work together for a month. I can help you get on track, make everything correct for you, and then you can take it and run with it on your own. So just getting help for a month or two is totally awesome because it sets you up for success the rest of your life. It's a great investment, I promise you. But if you want the help, it's out there. So hopefully this was something that you found interesting. Hopefully it's something that can help you raise awareness and kind of pay attention to what you're doing and help you just get better results for the efforts you're already putting in. I want everyone to be happy. And these are things that can sometimes steal that happiness from us. But once we're aware of it, it's actually easy to monitor and control. Okay. Well, if you need anything, if you have any questions, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Okay, well, if you like today's podcast, please share the podcast. That's the most impactful thing you can do to help us. Please, please, please share the podcast. Thank you to those who are patrons of the podcast who financially support the podcast. That's obviously another big thing. The podcast is several hundreds of dollars a year, so thank you very much for supporting us financially so we can actually do this every day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then if you like the podcast, click like. And then if you want to check out more from us, we have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube all under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.